In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Well, that's a fun gospel reading, huh? The story of the unjust judge and the widow who keeps coming, begging for justice. And finally, after weeks of begging the judge, begging for justice so that she might live, so that she might have hope, so things could actually work for her, finally the judge caves and gives in. Not because he cares about the woman, not because he cares about his job review, not because he believes in truth, but because he doesn't want to be bothered anymore. Jesus has an odd sense of ways to teach us how to pray and how to have hope, doesn't he? I mean, really, this is a terrible image of this powerful judge who finally just gives in because he's been bothered. And then Jesus says, but you know, God's better than that. Well, let's hope so, right? We know so. We know because the one who tells us this story, the one who speaks of us holding on to hope and not losing heart, is God entered into human history. It is God with us who tells us this story. So let me reframe this story and maybe put it in a slightly more modern way for us to try to understand. So let's pretend for a moment that you have just received a bill. It's a bill for your cell phone, or if you have a landline, it's the bill for your landline. And you look at the bill and it's shockingly high. Like they've added $90 or $100 to your bill in recurring charges. And they've decided that you didn't pay it on time last month. And they slapped on a late fee and a high percentage charge. Okay? So what do? You pick up your phone and you call the 800 number that's listed right there on the bill. And what happens? Does a person answer your call? No. You start getting those lovely phone mazes, right? Where they give you all the different numbers to push. And so you push a number and another number and another number and another number. And 10 minutes into it, you still have not found a real human being. Finally, after 15 minutes, you come across something that seems to get you to a living human being. And you explain the situation after you've been on hold for about 12 minutes. Of what's going on. And they say, I'm sorry, that's not my department. You'll need to call back. And you try. You say, please, can you tell me how to get a hold of the right department? But they've already hung up. So you repeat the process. Can anybody here say that they've experienced something like that? Yes. This is not an unknown situation. And you want to lose hope, right? You want to give up, but the bill's expensive, and they don't deserve it. I mean, really, they ought to pay you for their service, right? So you keep at it, and you don't lose heart. The fact of the matter is, there are a lot of things in this world that can make us lose heart. Phone bills, really difficult customer service, illness, broken families, fear, depression, addiction. There are a lot of things in this world that can make us lose heart. It can be hard sometimes to remember the light and the hope and the grace which is present in Jesus. But today, Jesus tells us that in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the challenges, God is with us. God will not leave us. God is not like that judge. God is not like that telephone system. God walks with us, yea, even in the valley of the shadow of death. You see, that hope, that love, that light, that is what stands at the center of who we are called to be as followers of Jesus. We are meant to be people who experience that hope and share that hope with each other. At its best, I truly believe that this place can embody that kind of hope and that kind of light. As we walk with people who are suffering, as we support each other in the midst of challenges and trouble, as we gather together to learn ways to pray, as we gather together to worship and to study, as we gather together for fellowship and reaching out, each one of those moments can be places of hope, can be places of connection, can be places where we hold each other up and offer goodness and grace to this world. What we try to be at St. Mark's is the body of Christ. And that means we try to be hope and love in the midst of the hurt of this world. For nearly a month now, we have been reflecting on how this hope, this light, spreads beyond our walls, just like the very subtle church that's hanging right here in the middle of our church, right? Hope streaming forth beyond the walls of that building, touching other people's lives, touching people's lives inside and outside. This place can shine in the world, offering hope when there is so much darkness. It has been a gift to remember all the ways that different ministries and different individuals have touched others and shared that hope and shared that light. It's been a gift. And I want to take you back to thinking about one other time where grace and hope went beyond our walls this past year. You know that earlier this year, during the summer, 12 members of this church headed off to South Dakota to Rosebud Indian Reservation. And they went hoping to share some light and some hope with others. And during our time there, the priest in charge of the mission shared a little bit with us about the impact of this place beyond our walls. So I'm going to dim the lights, and I'm going to invite you to listen to Lauren Stanley, the presbyter who's in charge of the Rosebud mission, talk just briefly about how the hope and light of this place impacted someplace so far away.
Just to deliver firewood, no matter how cold, and if it's a blizzard, take care of it. So they're going to come back and show you something, and I want you to see it here. This is a piece of wood your group got this morning. This is what hope looks like on the roof. So when you are cold this winter, and I know it gets cold in Western Mass, my people are actually from Springfield, and I lived there a few years. When you get cold this winter, and you turn up the heat in your house because you can afford to turn it up, I want you to remember our grandmas and our babies out here who are staying warm because your group cut this wood. That's the biggest gift that you have given us, hope. Hope that we are going to stay alive. Hope that somebody knows about us. Hope that somebody cares about us. Hope that someone is going to tell our story and make sure that we are not forgotten. Out here on the roof, it's hard to remember that somebody else cares. Your group is making sure that nobody forgets. And for that, we are deeply grateful. And for that, we say, we'll be let up. Thank you so much from our hearts and from God.
Oh, we're not done yet. Look, 12 people from this place gave their time, gave their sweat, and gave their ability, and gave financially to be able to make that trip happen. But you need to know that trip would not have happened if just 12 people worked on it, right? It took this congregation, it took the body of Christ to make this possible. You all donated. You brought in piles and piles of clothing. You helped deal with a big truck out in the parking lot, loading it and unloading it. You all made that possible so that some people in South Dakota could have some hope, right? Now, the fact is, this is not hope for most of us. Hope looks different depending on where you are. Yesterday, there was a bunch of hope out in the Great Hall, as 16,680 meals were packed by members of this church and other churches in this community so that people who are hungry could eat. You realize there are more than 45,000 people in our county who are hungry today? And so yesterday, we tried to do something about that. We gave our time. We gave our ability to scoop and to seal and to bag. We gave our money, money which you give that goes to an outreach budget that then pays for the food, so that hope could be made real, so that we could reach beyond our walls. You made that possible. Hope can look like wood. It can look like a package of food. It can look like somebody asking you how you are or visiting you at the hospital. And today we gather together recognizing that that hope matters, that it's good, that it's a blessing from God. We've heard about that for weeks now. So I want to invite you to take that hope seriously and to take seriously the card that's inside your bulletin today, which talks about St. Mark's reaching beyond our walls, the 2020 giving card. Folks, it's our time, it's our talent, and our treasure that makes this place do what it does. We're self-funded. Goodness knows the diocese doesn't fund us. We send in about $23,000 a year just to be a congregation that can use the Episcopal shield, right? So this matters. I encourage you to take some time right now, prayerfully, and think about how you might be part of that river of hope, that movement of grace beyond our walls and within our walls. How might you give some time? How might you give some ability? Not to St. Mark's, but to God. How might you give financially so that we can keep reaching beyond our walls? Take a minute. Look at that card, fill it out, and then in just a moment, I'll conclude. I thank you for being the church, for being the body of Christ, for using the gifts and the skills and the treasures that you have so that hope could be made real for one another, for folks here in Hampden County, for folks in South Dakota. Thank you for being the church. Amen.